Hello out there, and any of you listening to the RA podcast. This is Joshua Culp speaking. I am a Talmud instructor at the Conservative Yeshiva in Jerusalem. I hope I've met many of you as you've walked through our doors or read some of the stuff I put up on the internet. I've been teaching there for the past 18 years. I was a founder there in 1995. I wanted to talk to you today a little bit about something that I've been spending, I'd say, most of my career as an adult Talmud teacher, engaging in, and that isn't so much mechkar ha-Talmud, but pure research of the Talmud, although I did dabble in that a little bit when I did my doctorate with Professor Shammah Friedman at Bar-Ilan University. But more, I've seen myself over the past 18 years as somebody who tries to take some of the findings of the people I consider to be the giants in the field of Talmud, people like Shammah Friedman, familiar names such as David Halivni, Saul Lieberman, and other such giants in the field of Talmudic research, and to try to bring them to a broader audience, somebody who isn't going to open up the Hebrew articles and read all of those Hebrew articles or even the English articles for themselves, but somebody who wants to find out, you know, what the distilled meaning, what does Mechkar HaTalmud, or in general, research into Jewish sources, what does that have to teach us about who we are today, how we got to be the way we are today, how our customs developed, how our sources, our Talmud, our Siddur, how our practices developed over the years. I've always found that people find this to be very, very interesting. They want to know not just what do we do today, but how can we do that, and how can we do that? Sometimes has the meaning that we provided today, but sometimes can be better understood when we see the dynamics that are involved in the creation of what we did. I hope some of you, or most of you, are familiar with my attempt to do this in the Haggadah, the Schechter Haggadah, which I co-authored with Rabbi Professor David Galinkin of the Schechter Institute, where I went through all of the texts and all of the customs of the Haggadah and tried to explain where they came from, how they originated mostly in their Greco-Roman context, and how they developed to be observed the way that we observe them today. And I found that's very interesting to people. So I want to talk a little bit more broadly about what I see as the importance of Mechkar HaTalmud, Talmudic research, for somebody who's not going into university study, who's not going to be a Talmudic academic. I often get this question from my students. I teach the advanced class at the Conservative Yeshiva, and occasionally I get from my students the question, why should I bother doing or understanding the Talmud in an academic analysis? Why not just sit and learn the Art Scroll, learn it the same way they do in Mea Shearim? Why should I learn the Talmud anyway differently than somebody else does? So first of all, I think it's important to ask exactly what Mechkar HaTalmud is, what Talmudic research is. Some people have the misconception that Talmudic research is basically just looking at manuscripts and trying to figure out what the correct text of the Talmud or any other rabbinic text is. Now, that is important. I'm not going to deny the importance. I did sit there when I was doing my doctorate. I spent an entire summer in the Manuscript Institute at the basement of the Hebrew University Library, transcribing manuscripts. I can't say that I miss that, and I can't say that I really would like to spend another summer doing that, but it did teach me that there is importance of looking at manuscripts. But Talmudic research really only begins there, and I would say that looking at manuscripts is only a very small tool when it comes to Talmudic research. Talmudic research is a lot more based on the idea of comparing different texts, asking which text came first, to try then to see the dynamics involved in the, you know, development and the exchanges that occurred both in different places and in different time periods. So we spend a lot of our time in Talmudic research trying to find the earliest manifestations of customs, of ideas, whether it be to look at the Mishnah, the Tosefta, perhaps sometimes at even earlier sources, Philo, Josephus, Christian writings, the Dead Sea Scrolls. And we try to develop how these ideas come from the Bible or come from the ancient world and develop through rabbinic literature. It's really a question about the dynamics involved in our tradition. How did things evolve to be the way they are today? I want to give just a small example that I've been working on teaching at the yeshiva now, and is also, I'll give a little pitch, part of a book that Dr. Jason Rogoff and I are writing. We don't yet have a full title for the book, so if you can think of a title, we'd be happy to hear of it. It may one possible for title is Talmudic Tapestries, but basically it's an introduction to the study of Talmud, to the academic study of Talmud, but in English. Such a book doesn't exist yet, and we're trying in this book to show people how Talmudic research is done, what techniques Talmudic research uses, how it can contribute to their understanding of the Talmud, all in English. So one example in a chapter in the book is about the Prose Bowl. Now everybody's familiar with the Prose Bowl, and most people cite it as an example of how the rabbis abrogated Torah law. The Torah says that on the seventh year you're supposed to release all debts. Comes along Hillel and sees that people are refraining from loaning one to the other, so he creates an institution called the Prose Bowl in order to allow debts not to be remitted, which ultimately is supposed to be for the good of the poor, so that the poor will be able to secure loans, so that the rich will be able to give loans without fear that their loans will be remitted in the seventh year. Now that's the traditional understanding of the Prose Bowl. Rabbi David Bigman, a rabbi here in Israel, wrote an article in Hebrew that we've tried to bring to, let's say, a broader audience, partially, at least in this chapter of our book. What he has done is shown that Prose Bowl was a Greek type of document that scholars have known for over 100 years, which gave the right to the court to collect debts when a borrower had reneged on his loan, would not pay on his loan. Basically, it was a chance for the court to take possession of the borrower's property in order to recover the loan for the lender. So most scholars knew that, at least academic scholars knew that for well over 100 years, but everybody was puzzled by what exactly Hillel did, right? How did Hillel take this Greek institution that has basically the same name and turn it into this way of getting rid of the effects of the release of debts in the Shemitah year? So what Bigman shows and what we try to work on in this paper is that originally the mission doesn't actually say that Hillel did anything more than just hitkin et the Prose Bowl. He set up the Prose Bowl. Why did he set up the Prose Bowl? What seems quite clear when you look very analytically at the sources is he set up the Prose Bowl, he just simply took a Greek institution and applied it to Jewish law with no connection to the Shemitah year. In other words, the original Prose Bowl in Jewish law was simply basically the same thing as it was in Greek law. It was an attempt by the rabbis to allow creditors to better be able to recover their debt. Eventually that Prose Bowl, much after Hillel's life, was moved by later rabbis, perhaps in the Mishnaic period, as a way of avoiding the effects of the Shemitah year. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole subsequent history of the Prose Bowl, but suffice it to say that what this means is Hillel did not make a law or a takana, an enactment, to contradict Torah law. It had nothing to do with Torah law. All it had to do was with the ability to increase the ability of creditors to receive their loans in return so as to encourage them to lend money. That, to me, was a very interesting way of looking at the Prose Bowl. There was no early second century attempt to avert Torah law. All there was some kind of extra Torahitic legal means by which creditors could receive their loans. Now, I want to finish up here with a brief answer to a question I get a lot. People often ask me, students, other people, what's the spiritual meaning I find in Talmudic learning or Mechkar HaTalmud, Talmudic research? So I just want to briefly say that I don't believe that spiritual meaning should be the sole barometer of the worth of anything in our life. There are other ways I measure whether something is worth it for me to do, besides the spiritual meaning it brings to me. And to be honest, and I've increasingly tried to be honest about this in the past couple of years, I don't engage in Talmudic learning for spiritual meaning. I search for other types of meaning in my Talmudic learning, both in academic and non-academic learning. I think of learning as something, searching for meaning and understanding of the world in which I live, understanding of history, society, humanity, science, religion, literature. I could go on and on with the list. These endeavors, this search for meaning and understanding, is no less important to me as a Jew, as a human being, than would be the search for God or for spiritual meaning. When I want to search for spiritual meaning, I usually do it in other contexts, which I'm not going to get into right now because we're talking about Talmud. But if I measured Talmud only by spiritual meaning, it might come up a little short. But when I measure my Talmudic learning or my attachment to Talmudic learning with other yardsticks, such as I've just mentioned, it becomes one of the most meaningful, productive, and interesting aspects of my life. So if you have further questions for me, or you want to talk about this, you can either find me on Facebook, or you can find me in the Conservative Yeshiva website. I teach Daf Shvui and Mishnah Yomit there. You can find a lot more information about that. Chances to learn with me and with the Conservative Yeshiva from remote. Thank you very much.